privilege it is to be able to be in God's Word and see Jesus experiencing a very human event, very human. We've looked at how he has been tested in very human experience. He's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and it says he became hungry. In other words, his body is screaming out for satisfaction. And the evil one comes to him and says, just satisfy it however you can. Turn this rock into bread. No big deal. And we find that he's worthy of our love because he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Then we find that the evil one came to him again and said, you know, I'm not sure you can trust God, your heavenly Father. You better test him. Do something to test him. Jump off the highest point of the temple, because after all, his Bible said that he'll protect you. Jesus said, do not put the Lord God to the test. We find that the serpent today is going to offer a different way. There's a better way, Jesus, than going to the cross. There's an easier way to live life. We can get by. It's much like he said to Eve. We've gone back to these verses every week here for a while. God had told Adam and Eve, don't consume the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of good knowledge. Trust me on that. I did not create you to be able to handle it. And they did not. And the evil one came and said, you're not going to die. God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. There's a better way, Eve. Read between the lines. What's he saying? There's something lacking in your life. I know what it is, and I know how you can achieve it. You hear that? Worship me. Get your truth from me is what he's saying. Worship my vision for your life. Let my attitude be yours. I will tell you what's right and wrong. See your life through my eyes. Oh, the joy and satisfaction I have available, set aside for you, Eve, if you will just consume that fruit. Follow me, and I will make you like God. Does that not sound great? It sounds marvelous. So easy. So easy. Do you know I won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstake this week? You know how I know? Because somebody called and told me about it. Yeah, it is marvelous. Millions of dollars were mine. All I had to do was give them some information. That was all. I will not trust that. That mindset will push you deeper and deeper into a life of rebellion towards God. Rebellion. We see that. The woman saw the tree was good for food, and that was a delight to her eyes. That tree was to be desired to make one wise. Hear the enemy say, worship yourself, Eve. Worship yourself. Make your own decisions. You choose what's right and wrong. Worship the vision for your life, your attitude, your vision of right and wrong. See your life through your eyes, Eve. Your eyes. We need a biblical definition of true worship. It's a lifestyle of reverent obedience. That word reverence means a profound awe. In this country, we have lost the awe of God. He's something over here that makes us feel better and gives us this and gives us that, but we've lost that understanding of who he is. His profound respect, even mixed with a little fear because of his authority and power, and is expressed through worship, obedience, and a devout life. With that reverent obedience comes a public act of honoring God through prayer, praise, and service, stemming from a deep inner reverence and love for God. It's not something we just do. It's something that we are coming out into our lives. True biblical worship involves laying down one's own will and actions to glorify God through every aspect of your life rather than merely performing some religious activities. So what if Jesus is offered a simpler, easier way to establish his kingdom? Satan knows what he's doing. He's come down to establish the kingdom of God. Let me give you an easier way to do that. Let me give you an alternative. You'll like it a lot better, Jesus. It looks like it's going to fulfill every purpose for Satan's standpoint. Think of it like a scam, because that's what this is. I'm offering this to you, Jesus, but I'm not telling you this stuff over here that's going to happen. Matthew chapter 4, 8 through 11. Again, this is the third time now, the devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. That word worship in the Greek is not like we think of it. You just identify me. Look to me just for a second. Honor me. That's what he's saying. It's not bow down, worship, and all that. Just honor me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. What's it say? Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. At that point, the devil left him and angels came to attend him. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for giving us this example of how a very human Jesus experienced exactly the same thing we do. How we are offered alternatives. How we are offered to worship ourselves and we choose what's right and wrong for us rather than allowing you to do that. I pray that truth will come to us now this morning, that we will see your awesome love for us, but also that your love leads us to the true worship of who you are. Bless now and I give you the praise for your name alone. Amen. Isn't this just a simple request from Satan? So simple. No one else has to know, Jesus. It's just me and you up on this mountainside. No one else has to know. We will keep it between ourselves. The Amplified Version said, he showed them all the kingdoms of the world and the glorious, the splendor, the magnificent, and excellent of them. What has he left out? It's like an advertisement. They show you all the good stuff, but there's no hint of the sin that could come after that. John 8:44, you have to understand. Jesus said of Satan, you belong to your father the devil and you want to carry out your father's desires. He, being Satan, is a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So let me ask you, is Satan good at this? Yeah, just look at Judas. How can you walk with Jesus for 3.5 years? See all that he has done. Even experience some of that power flowing through you when he sent them up. And hearing it all. How could you do what he did? Because he listened to the wrong voice. Number one, never argue with sin. Never argue with it, okay? Don't allow it to linger in your mind. Don't give it a home where it enters your mind like Eve did when she took it. Did you see what? She knew what God's command was, but she saw the food was good. It was a delight to her. She was arguing with it. Why shouldn't I do this? It doesn't make sense to me. See, sin makes logical sense to our old sinful nature. So you cannot argue with it. A former addict can never entertain the idea of just one. Okay? Former addict, just one. Just one more cigarette, if you struggled with that. Just one more drink. Just one more hit. Just one more porn or gambling site. I got it taken care of. No, they can't do that. But folks, maybe your addiction is anger or pride or bitterness. Or you've got to control everything. Or you hate yourself. Those are just as addictive as the things at the front. And folks, we all have addictions of some sort. Amen? No, not me. We all have some addictions of the second list. Maybe not the first list, but the second. In addition, in the addiction research, the ones who treat addicts have a saying, once an addict, always an addict. In other words, you can't just do one. And after salvation, folks, we are former addicts to sin. That's who we are. It's there. It's part of our personality. Romans 6:14, sin shall no longer be your master, but you are you're not under the law, but under grace. So after salvation, we're former addicts to sin, but man, does it have a pull on our lives, like all other addictions in life. And you never win walking on the path of sin. Sorry. And you never win looking longing toward the path of sin. It slows down your Christian maturity. You're looking back. It opens up a crack in your defense to seep in, and it occupies a place in your mind reserved for the Word of God. As I'm looking and longing, it takes the place of God. Philippians 4 through 8, Paul says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things, center them in your mind, and implant them in your heart. What we think about matters. The direction that our mind is going matters. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever... Oh, I did that one. Hebrews 2, 12 and 13. See to it, brother, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving, that could be a disobedient heart, that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That's what he wants to do to you. Harden you to the voice of the Spirit living within you. So you never argue with sin like Eve did. And the only power against the pull of sin is direct and outright rejections. No, not going to do that. 2 Corinthians 5, the last part. We are taking captive every thought and purpose to bring it under the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're taking that thought. The thought is not sinful. What do we do with it? And we bring it underneath the Word of God to make it obedient to the Christ. The Greek, it's written in a form where we take captive and we bring it under obedience. And we continue doing that. We keep taking it over and over and over again and again. And as you keep doing it until the voice begins to weaken. Not go away, it begins to weaken. Jesus said, away with me, Satan. Away. Scat. Away from me, sinful desire. Foolish falsehood, lies of Satan. Do it over and over and over. Have you ever picked up something barehanded that was nasty? What'd you do with it? Gee, that's kind of nasty. I think I need to do something. No. What'd you do? Throw it away, didn't you? Just like that. What if it was sticky? What'd you do? Whatever you had to do to get rid of, that's what that verse is meaning. You throw it away, and you keep throwing it, and you keep throwing it, until finally the voice has lessened. Not gone away, but lessened. One of my chores growing up was going out into the barn and feeding some calves, and it was feed that we did, and it was in a 50-gallon barrel, and for some reason, this time it was in the winter, and it was dark, and there were no lights in the barn. And I got out there, and my flashlight went out. But hey, I know where this stuff is at. So I reached down to this bin to grab the container. And imagine my surprise when it came up hairy. Yeah, I put a new barn door in that place that day. I don't know what it was. I'm guessing it's a possum. But that thing didn't take long to throw away. And me to go the other. That's what he's talking about. You throw it away, and you throw it away quick. It is immediate, unfettered reaction to throw it away. Now that we've done that. I am a child of the living God. I don't want to think that away. It sounds good to my old nature, but I don't want to think that away anymore. There is no room for that thought, that desire, that pull upon my life. No, no. Then Jesus immediately, upon saying no, overlaid it with some truth. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Saying no just leaves a vacuum, a void. Now, if you have some ADHD problems, it doesn't take long for something else to occupy that void, okay? But it leaves a void. So you don't do that. You implant God's word where that's at. And you let that lead and guide you. Worship, be totally awed by the authority of God. Be completely respectful of God's position. Be lovingly fearful of his holiness and authority. And you express it through praise and worship and obedience and a devout life. In other words, you're living his word to the best of your ability. And when we fall, we repent of that, ask for his forgiveness, get up, and we go again. And we learn of who we are. It was only when Jesus had completely rejected Satan where angels were allowed to come and minister to him. Did you see that? After he said no, angels came and ministered to him. So the only power against the pull of sin is direct and outright rejection. But folks, the battle is never over until you take that last breath. I'd like to tell you that upon salvation, you don't have any more problems. Everything is great. And we forget about the verse that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. It's never over until you take that last breath. Luke wrote it like this, the same occurrence, the same temptations. He said, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Put a place marker in Jesus' life and saying, I'm coming back to that. Opportune, well-timed, suitable, favorable, more favorable that it will be selected. I loved growing up circus lions and tiger acts. Loved it. Here's a guy in a cage with all of these animals, and the only thing he's got is a whip and a chair. Chair. The animals were not really tamed. You know that. They just know where their food's coming from, and they tolerate the trainer, but they still kill. And they still maim at times. And that's your addiction, no matter what it is. You may think you've got a whip and a chair keeping it at bay. You do not. The only way to overcome that is no. And overlay the word of God. The full frontal attack will be over at some point. That addiction can come at you at times, no matter what it is. And you fight it, and you say no. And finally, the voice gets lower and less and not as intense. And you take that big breath because the full frontal attack is over. But then, it goes to sniper mode. Sniper mode. It's looking for an opportune time. Might be a song. It might be an advertisement. It might be something you see, something you hear, something that it comes back again and you will fight it again. We find this in Jesus' life. He's just told the disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried and I'm going to rise again. I've told you that so you will know. From that time on, Jesus began to explain his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and rise on the third day. Sounds logical to us, doesn't it? We've talked about this. We've studied this so many years that, yeah, we understand that. This was not the first time the disciples were hearing this. He was telling them over and over. They were having none of it. Peter took Jesus aside. See, sometimes God's people can be his sniper weapon. He took Jesus aside and said, never, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. No way, baby, Jesus, we're not doing this. We got a good thing going on here. You go to Jerusalem and you're going to be killed. And no, this makes no sense whatsoever. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You see the sniper attack? Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind, the concern of God, but merely human concerns. It might hit you with a smell or sight or sound or something else that draws your attention away from your addiction. Not just the outward addictions, but the inward ones we talked about. We need to understand that 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He said, resist him. Stand firm in the faith because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. We have an enemy that longs to destroy us. So we need to be sober-minded, alert. Just like a wise animal trainer, you keep your eye up on the threat of sin. You understand how you're made and the things in your life. And as a result, you're alert to them. You always keep your eye up on the Savior. And you never cuddle up to your sin. Never. Worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. Serve Him exclusively. And that includes me. Are you looking for a God that serves you? Ooh, I didn't like it when I wrote it down either. Are your prayers consisted of, do this for me, Lord. Take this away, Lord. Heal this person, Lord. Make me happy, Lord. Give me this, Lord, or that, Lord. Is that your prayers? Then you're looking for a God that serves you. And we are instructed that we are to serve God wholeheartedly. God has already served us through the cross of Jesus Christ. He has already served us by forgiving our sin debt and planting the Holy Spirit within us, giving us a future that we cannot even dream about. But we are to serve Him and Him alone, and that includes this thing right here. And Jesus is our example. Going a little further, this would be on the night he was to be crucified. Going a little further, he fell to his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, make this cup be taken from me. Hear him say, as I look to the cross, I don't want to do it. I don't want to go through this. If there's any other way, yet I serve you, God. Not as I will, but as you will. There was no other way that was possible that man, that God could create a way by which sinful man can be accepted before a holy, righteous God. Nevertheless, not what I want, but yours. Yes, God is worthy of all your love. Yes, God is worthy of all your trust. But mostly, yes, God is worthy of all of your worship. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the illustration of Jesus. Thank you. We can look to Him and see that everything we can experience, all the emotion we can go through, He's done that. We can see and understand how to live and how to respond. We have the same Spirit within us that was on Him. Lord, we live in a very selfish world. And that sometimes comes into the life of your children. What governs my life? Is it me? Or is it your Word? What gives me strength? Is it me because of my determination and because of who I am? Or is it your Spirit? Where do I place my hook of hope? Is on me being smart enough? Me being tough enough? Me being wise enough? Me being able to control all of my environment? Or is my hope placed? I hook it up on you. Lord, you draw us to this time to make wise and godly decisions. And I pray that we do that before we leave here, that we have done business with you. Father, if someone here does not know you as Savior, I pray that your Spirit would be so upon them There is absolutely no doubt in their mind what they need to do, that they come, and we will show them in your word how to receive you. Lord, we each must make a decision now. Open up your altars, and I thank you for your glory alone.